All right, now that you're all cozy, let's stand together for the reading of the gospel today. This Epiphany Sunday. Read from a passage that's been read in part already today, Matthew chapter 2. Starting in the first verse. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, and assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen, when it rose, went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. You may be seated. And I want to read for you one more passage from Ephesians chapter 3. This is also the lectionary passage from the New Testament for this Sunday. And the passage that I want to teach from today, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, "For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made to the sons of men in other generations. It has now been revealed to the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. The mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was according to the eternal promise that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, into whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. And so I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory." The word of the Lord. When I was about 18 years old, I had what many would call a crisis of faith. I grew up in a Christian home. My dad was a pastor, both kind of a bivocational guy who worked to pay the bills, but really was most passionate about being the associate pastor in the church I grew up in. And then in high school, he became a full-time senior pastor. And in the midst of kind of growing up in a Christian home, I had a very real, authentic, and intimate relationship with God from a really small age. I would say that even I can remember 5, 6, but certainly around 8 or 9, having very real relationship with God. We would spend a lot of time together. I actually would love to just go off by myself and just have full-on conversations with him. And I know, even looking back, it wasn't sort of the equivalent of an imaginary friend. There was just a childlike faith that allowed me to just be with God in some really real and intimate ways. But like most of us, or a lot of us, as I grow up, I get older, and I start asking questions, and all of a sudden this relationship with Jesus means certain things for me that were hard. It's just kind of the norm, you know? You're starting to come into junior high, high school, and it's meaning I have to make certain choices, not do certain things, do certain things. It's sort of kind of like calling me to things that I wasn't so excited about and was actually costing me in ways that it hadn't. At the very same time, I would say that I was moving in some ways in my adolescence from being childlike to being childish. Some of us would maybe understand that as well. And as I got kind of into my teens, I really was your typical teenage boy. I was a bit childish. There was sort of a selfishness in me. There was these kind of things. And it created a lot of animosity even in our home. My father and I didn't have the greatest relationship through high school. It was just a really difficult time. And when I came to the end of high school, I had a choice to make. I had to decide what I wanted to do. And there was nothing I hated more in my life at that point than school. Just was like, did not want to go to school. And so I figured after 12 years of being made to go to school, I would be crazy to choose to go back. And so I just thought, that's not happening. I think I'll go work at the ski hill. My dad figured that was a great idea. But if I wanted to do that, I was going to have to start paying rent. Which brings me to probably my second least exciting thing at that point in my life, living with my dad. And I thought, well, if I'm going to live in my dad's house, I'm certainly not going to pay to do that. That's not going to happen. Why would I pay? And it just, whole plan fell apart. Trying to figure out what to do, and the denomination, the churches that I was a part of, had kind of a young adults group that they'd pull people together in that season of their life. They would spend a couple of months training to go and share the gospel, and then would travel and do that in schools and all kinds of, you know, through different kinds of artistic forms and things. And I knew about it. I'd kind of grown up in the denomination. In some ways, it was probably the next step most people expected from me, but I was not interested until it was that or pay rent. And so I thought, well, I'm going to go. So I went. And I spent 2 months. We were in classes, and I just, my attitude was, to put it very mildly, it sucked. And so I just through the whole thing, I just thought, this is, you know, whatever. I'm just going through the motions. Went back home at Christmas for a short break. And when we went back, we had a couple days of prayer before we headed out on 8 months of ministry. We were going to go out. We were going to be in schools. We were going to be in communities, churches, sharing the gospel with people only a couple years younger than us. And those of you that know me now would think, well, that sounds pretty exciting. It didn't at the time. All of a sudden, we were in this service kind of the night before we were to go out on this mission, so to speak, and I was in the back of a room with about 300 or 400 people in it, all in worship, and right in the midst of worship, something that I've loved since I could make noise, it hit me like a ton of bricks, that if I didn't actually believe this, if all of this stuff that I'd been living into throughout my life wasn't real, was just kind of my parents' idea, and I just sort of bought into it, then none of this makes any sense, including the parts I like. And right in the midst of worship, I fell into my seat in the back of the room and I began to weep. And it's one of those moments where you're trying to keep a low profile. You don't want a lot of people in on what's happening because they're probably going to try and say something. You don't really want to talk about it. I'm just kind of having a moment here. And at the end of this moment, I'm probably going home. And I knew that if I went home, I wasn't just leaving the program, I was walking out on this whole thing. And it was a very real moment for me, a crisis of faith, in a moment where I just knew, I don't know if I can do this because I don't know if I believe this. And I think it was one of those moments where I prayed without knowing I was praying. Have you ever had those? The honesty of your heart is a prayer. Like, it just was overwhelming. I didn't even have to say anything, but I knew in a way I was kind of laying it out with God and saying, God, I need to see you or we're done. Like, I can't, this isn't going to work. And all of a sudden, a man who kind of led the organization that ran this whole thing gets up on the stage and grabs the microphone and says, is Chad here? And I immediately just thought, oh, I figured he was going to ask me to do something. And I thought, oh, perfect. Like, here we go, the pinnacle of the problem. Like, you think I'm one thing, I'm not that thing. You're going to ask me, what do I do with this? But I thought, I can't avoid this. Everybody knows who I am. So they're all looking around, finding me, and they're pointing. He's over here. And I was like, okay, whatever. So finally, I lifted my head up out of my lap. I looked up and caught his eye. And he says, Chad, I was in my chair in worship, and the Lord just told me I had to come up here and in front of all these people. God wants to tell you that God wants you to know he sees you and he loves you. And it changed my life. That simple word from the Lord, but in that moment when I was at my end, changed my life. I'm here today. I wear this collar because of what happened right there in that moment. I spent that next 8 months kind of traveling around and trying to get my bearings, because I came out of that still with lots of questions. Me and God made a bit of a deal that day. I said, you know what? Okay, you got me. I'm in. But I have a lot of questions. And so at the end of that 8 months, guess what I did? I went to school. It changed everything. I thought, I'm going to go to school. Like, I just wasn't in the cards. I thought, well, I'm going to school. I'm hungry. I want to know more. I just led, and one thing kind of led to the other. January 6th in the church calendar is Epiphany. And so today it falls even right here on the Sunday. Epiphany Sunday. The celebration of the fact that we have a God who loves to reveal himself to people. He loves to make himself known. And that's one of them. After that, I've got stacks of those stories. I've had the privilege of being able to be in those moments with others, to be a part of those moments for others, and to watch God consistently, just like he did with the Magi, go out of his way to get people's attention. And not just to get their attention, but in that moment to show them who he is and to speak to them both of his heart and being and of theirs. To call them into something beautiful. He is an incredible God. And on this day, every day, but on this day, we set aside special time to celebrate, to let our hearts explode in worship before a God who pursued us when we didn't pursue him, who revealed himself to us. He didn't need to do that. God reveals himself to us. And Epiphany, we don't just kind of celebrate that he reveals himself, but we celebrate specifically the fact that he reveals himself to everyone. That he doesn't kind of play favorites or have partiality in this part of his heart. That he wants everyone, regardless of race, social status, economic status, height. We got some tall people, we got some short, you know, it doesn't matter. He wants to show himself to us regardless of who we are, regardless of what we've done or not done, regardless of how old we are or how far we've run. God is a God of revelation, and what we celebrate today is that he's a God of revelation for the Jew and for the Gentile, for all of us. How does God reveal himself? How do we know? The question starts to rise in our hearts and in many people's lives, and as you walk this journey out and even live into some of what we were praying for just a minute ago, to not only have the revelation of Jesus in our own lives, but to be a part of that revelation for others. That we would be sharing Christ with people and they would be seeing Jesus in us and we'd be sharing him with us. As we go to do that, you bump into this question, how do you know? How do you really know there is a God? And how do you know anything about him? And the simple answer is this. The only way we know anything about him is he's revealed himself to us. We didn't figure God out. I really love the first song we did. I think it's totally legit. We can sing it again. So I want to just put that caveat on it. But it is a little bit funny. You know, you didn't find Jesus. You did. But you kind of... You only found him because he let you find him. It's a bit like a game of hide and seek with a parent. What parent goes and finds a good hiding spot when they're playing hide and seek with a little kid? Like, that's just, unless they really need a break, right? It's like, no, mommy has a hiding spot. You count to 10 and then see if you can find me. Like, it's just, you just don't do that. Right? So it's kind of funny because when I play, like if I play hide and seek with Maggie, I like hide behind that pole, and I'm way bigger than that pole because otherwise it's just gonna go from fun to not fun really fast, right? But she still gets the joy of interacting and finding. And when she finds me, I say, "You found me." And I think it's a little like that, this finding. It says of the Magi, they found Jesus. That's a little funny. There was a star in the heavens that shined and blinked their way to Jesus. Like, to say they found him would be to kind of cut God out of the picture where he was obviously a big part. Revelation is essential. You know God today because he revealed himself to you. And you know the things you know of God today because he's revealed them to us. God reveals himself in many different ways. God reveals himself in creation. The scriptures testify to this, that even in the creation, in nature, there's what they call natural revelation, that we can see the imprints of the Creator, and it draws many into a relationship with God. He reveals himself through reason. He put these brains up in our craniums, and they're pretty incredible, actually. Some of them more than others, but we won't get into that. But but in reason, we can think, and many people have shown that we can come to greater revelation, understanding of God by using the faculties he's given to us. People like Thomas Aquinas, who came up with incredible proofs for the existence of God. Amazing exercises of reason. We even watch Paul in Athens, when he begins to engage people on the level of reason, to connect with this idea that there is a God and what he might be like. That we are to actually use the faculty of reason, and God will reveal himself to us as we do that. As we study, as we read, as we work. God also reveals himself through experience. So much of what happened for me during that crisis of faith was that I had an encounter with God. An experience personally with the living God. He spoke to me. He singled me out at just the right moment, and so I experienced God. And all these sources of revelation are incredibly important, but there is no greater revelation of God. We see him, and he is revealed to us nowhere else like the incarnation. When he took on flesh and made himself visible, dwelt among us. And so he says to one of his disciples at one point, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Hebrews speaks of Jesus as the exact imprint of God. He uses the language of minting coins. He's same in every way. And so when we watch Jesus interact with the Samaritan woman at the well, when we watch him interact with his disciples, when we see him sit down with Peter and restore him, when we watch him go to the cross and the heart with which he goes, we see God. That there is no greater revelation of God than Jesus Christ. And so many of the sources of revelation come into submission to some grand sources of revelation, ultimately Jesus. But also these revelations of Jesus, number one, the scripture, the word of God, the revelation of God and of truth that speaks to who he is from the very beginning until the very end. And that revelation, not only the Bible in its kind of vacuum, but that Bible closely connected and set squarely in the tradition. So that word, that gospel in relationship with the church. Understood not however we want to understand it, but understood the way that God gave it to us. The apostles preserved it. The church has safeguarded it. And so all revelation, be it reason, experience, creation, these kinds of revelation, they need to come in subject under the person of Jesus. The teaching of Jesus, the way of Jesus. And then they become revelation that, wonder of all wonders, allows simpletons like me to know God. And to live in active relationship with him. not really to fully comprehend him, but even in my inability to fully comprehend him, to know and be known by him. In all of these ways, God has revealed himself. And today at Epiphany, we celebrate that. That God has revealed himself to us in the person of Jesus Christ. This revelation of God revealing himself to us, and not only to a select group of people, but to all of us, actually shaped and defined for Paul his calling and his mission. And if we look at Ephesians chapter 3 that I read before, we can see this, that Paul understands his calling in light of the Epiphany. He says, my calling is to take the good news of Jesus, the mysteries of Jesus revealed, to the Gentile. It's been revealed to me by God that I'm to take that revelation to all flesh. That no one's to go without this good news. And if you think about Paul for a minute, if you know anything about Paul's life, this is actually kind of an incredible part of his life. That a man like Paul felt that his calling and could take hold of that revelation is kind of mind-blowing. Because Paul lived the first part of his life as the best Jew you can find. And many of his contemporaries, and even in the church, Paul had to fight for this one. He had to wrestle with men like Peter over it. This was not an easy revelation to take hold of and to live into, but it grabs Paul's heart. Part of it is because even here in this passage that I read, he recognizes that he only knows God because he's not a respecter of persons. That even the chiefest of sinners among us, me, God revealed himself to me. It would be crazy of me to think that you would be disqualified. And so he lives into this revelation. And I love that when he speaks of revelation, he speaks of the fact that he knows both the truth of the gospel and the thing to which he has personally been called because they have been revealed to him, he says, by the Spirit. That these things were revealed to him not just by an act of his reason, not just by the well wishes or the good intent of another man or of a leader, but by the Spirit. And this is the part that I want us to catch most profoundly today on this Epiphany Sunday. It's this, that revelation comes, and the revelation of God comes always by the Spirit. And it's important that the revelation of God comes by the Spirit. Because if the revelation of God doesn't come by the Spirit, it's kind of like a minefield rampant with potential problems. That it comes by the Spirit means that that truth that is revealed will be objective truth, not subjective truth. Let me read for you what Jesus promises in John chapter 16 when he promises the Holy Spirit. First of all, in verses chapter 14 and 16 of the Gospel of John, Jesus refers to the Spirit as the Spirit of truth. And he says this, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Reveal to you. He will bring you into revelation. He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, Jesus says. For he will take what is mine and declare it to you. It's important that revelation come by the Spirit, because when it comes by the Spirit, it comes as truth. So even when revelation comes from the Spirit and it's hard truth, it's still truth. And we can hold on to it. That's why the Word of God is such an authoritative revelation. Because the Word of God came to us by the Spirit. Paul says to Timothy, all of this, inspired by God. God breathed. It's important that revelation come by the Spirit too, because The promise of the Spirit is that all that he does would point to Jesus. That all that he reveals would glorify Jesus. And so the revelation, when it comes by the Spirit, always will exalt and put before us Christ. And we've already talked about the fact that in Jesus we see God. That all of it points to a true revelation, a trustworthy revelation. And finally, the revelation, it's important that it come by the Spirit, because only when revelation comes from God himself, only when it comes by the Spirit, does it have the ability, the potential to change our lives. What that man said to me that day is not that profound, especially for someone who had grown up in the church. That's not the first time I'd heard God loves me. I heard a lot. In fact, that was usually the safe answer to any question in Sunday school, right? But in that moment, by the Spirit, it was revealed to me. It changed my life. It connected me again in a fresh way with the call of God on my life. It put a very honest and real yes in my heart. The only way that kind of thing happens is by the Spirit. I have the privilege often to sit with people in some pretty beautiful places, but some hard places, as we walk healing journeys with people. I will never tire of watching in those spaces of real pain, of real trauma, when the Spirit comes and reveals truth, where people have been captive to the other. Because you can watch full countenances change. I've seen it over and over and over again. The power of revelation, when it comes by the Spirit, it's a game changer. I'm struck as we talk about the revelation of God by this juxtaposition that's drawn in Matthew's gospel between King Herod and the Magi. There's something to be really caught here in the sense of revelation, that God reveals himself, but we got to do something with that revelation. And you have choices there. The Messiah has come. Both of them know that. Herod even goes and gets experts to come and show him by the Old Testament, by the Scriptures, what's happening. They both have this revelation of God that the Messiah has come, and the Magi go and they worship. They follow and allow their lives to be drawn in by the Spirit to that revelation. They receive it. And it says when they receive him, when they see Jesus, they fall to their knees and they worship. And begin to give sacrificially of their life. It changes them. Herod begins to put a plan together to take the revelation out. He's overwhelmed by the consequences of this revelation for him. Amazing to me. Herod was the Jew. Herod was the one with the promises. It just shows that revelation is not enough. God is revealing himself. We need to be touched and transformed by that revelation. We need to allow that revelation to come in our lives. Otherwise, it doesn't change anything. A couple of ways to think about that really quickly before we close. One is this. Bishop Todd talks about it this way lots. That there is revelation in the sense there's like a big R revelation, with a big capital R on the front of it, and there's small R revelation. Not better or worse, but big R revelation being this. God is God. He is who he says he is. He came in the flesh. Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. And then there's the small R revelation moments where you fall down in a chair at 18 years old at the back of the room, and that big R revelation moves from here to here. And it's really important. Because the truth is the truth. But it changes our lives when by the Spirit we receive it. It moves, so that would be the other way to think of it, from our heads to our hearts. That we need Jesus. We need a revelation of Jesus. The world around us needs a revelation of Jesus. This should impact today for us. On this Epiphany Sunday, it should do a couple things. Number one, we should be really excited. Tamara was excited for worship today. Because when we think about it, wow. God who created us revealed himself to us without exception. That should launch us into worship. Every time you come to the Lord's table and the invisible is made visible, recognize the gift and the grace that's just been given to you and worship. Wow, thank you, God. That you would make yourself known to us like this. So number one, we should worship. Number two, I pray that it stir up in us some kind of expectation and hunger for more. God, would you reveal yourself in this part of my life? God, would you reveal yourself in this part of my story? God, would you let me see you here in my kid's life? God, would you come? And finally, it should launch us into mission. God, would you reveal yourself in this world again? Everywhere we see darkness, in light of the Epiphany, there should be something in us that just goes, Holy Spirit, come. Where we see brokenness and poverty and injustice, and especially where we pray specifically for those in our lives who are lost or prodigal. God, would you come reveal yourself? And to pray that with some confidence, with some expectation. Jeff, Tamara, if you guys would come. As we were coming, and just in the midst of worship today, reflecting on some of this personally and thinking about what it was that I wanted to share today, I felt like God clearly highlight or point out that for some of you here today, you need a revelation of the love of God for you. That for different reasons, you need to know today that God sees you and he loves you. You need God to reveal himself to you today on this Epiphany Sunday. I'm so thankful that the truth of the gospel is not dependent on my experience. That even when I don't comprehend it or feel it, God loves me. And there's days when I need that. But there remains, though, in those spaces for me, a hunger, a desire to know that. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I actually think it's right. And I think God is keen to those desires. And so wherever today, on this Epiphany Sunday, you would say, I need a revelation of Jesus. Maybe you hold a piece of your story, a piece of your journey, and you would just love to see how Jesus was there. Maybe there's a part of your heart or your life where you would say, I need a revelation of Jesus there because this is not working. Areas of sin or addiction, places of trauma, relationships that just continually take you out. We worship today because he is a God who reveals himself. And we also ask together, and I think rightly, on this Epiphany Sunday, God, would you do it again? Could I see you right there, Lord? Would you reveal yourself today? So God, we pray that together. We lift our lives to you, our hearts to you. in honest ways and we say, God, would you come and would you move in our lives? Let us have a revelation of Jesus. We look at Paul's life. We see him walk it out. We see the call of God on his life, his grasp on the gospel. All of it he credits back to the revelation of the Spirit. Earlier in the letter, Paul prays this for that same church in Ephesians. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of glory may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which you were called. And I pray that for you right now, that God would by his Spirit give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you might be able to see not just with your physical eyes, not just with your reason, not just with your experience, but with the eyes of your heart. That at the very core of your being, you would have a revelation of Jesus right now. Come, Holy Spirit.